Today on Tim and Sid, the Leafs seemed really motivated last night against Tampa.
They did. The Canucks really needed that type of performance from Thatcher Demko.
And things just got real in the sports world. Tim and Sid with Donovan Bennett live on TV and radio starts now.
Thought you were going to say real on The Bachelor.
Oh, we got to talk Bachelor too. Barb? Shut up, Barb.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment. Yeah. It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Hello, hello. It is Wednesday, March 11th. I'm Sid Sixero. Tim McAuliffe off today in his chair. Once again, dear friend of this show. We couldn't get Faisal to come in instead. Donovan Bennett. Donovan Bennett, everybody. Good to see you. Donovan Bennett.
You know why you couldn't get Faisal to come in?
Why couldn't I get Faisal?
Because you treat people like that.
I treat people great, man. What's some good-natured ribbing in life? Kind of need it right now, man. Why can't I just make jokes and stuff? Why is everyone got to be so serious?
Because I'm here to help you out.
Let me see my script.
First thing you do is take a shot at me.
That's why I got
this. How dare you? You need a little bit more pinball
clubs. Ladies and gentlemen, Donovan Bennett.
Thank you. Thank you.
Donovan
That's much
Bennett.
More, Donovan. Much better. It's much better. Thank you. Thank you. You're far too kind.
And the Brittany Donaldson feature, by the way, Raptors assistant coach that aired Sunday. Nice job.
Thank you.
Appreciate Great job. That. Who really helped you with that?
Adrian Chetty, Owen Roberts, Graham Campbell, Tom Stewart all did all the work. And Brittany herself. Actually, you know who helped me? Carmen and Jeff Donaldson, her parents who gave me the viz. Having nice parents is amazing, which is not the case for The Bachelor.
We'll get to that. We're going to talk Bachelor because I need it today.
You knew I was going to bring it up.
Thank you for bringing it up. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, you can reach us at Tim and Sid. Our Instagram and Facebook accounts are also delicious.
True story. You know what else is very good for the ears? The podcast, Tim and Sid. It's available. You can download it right now. It's available 24/7. That's kind of how podcasts work. You can also stream the show while on the go 24/7. Anytime, all you have to do is get Sportsnet now.
Coming up on this two-hour edition of Tim and Sid, we will discuss, a lot to discuss,
yes.
The Leafs.
Bounce back.
Can the Oilers.
Bounce back.
Will Connor McDavid.
Be back.
We think so. LeBron.
Not bounce back, but missed opportunity.
Jimmy Butler.
Angering Raptors fans for some reason.
Some basketball coming your way. Jimmy Butler of the Miami Heat was recently on J.J. Redick's podcast. He had an interesting thing to say regarding Game 7, Raptors Sixers a year ago. I know it seems like it's done and dusted, but he kicked up some controversy in his comments. We'll let you hear that. Elliot Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada will drop by. A lot going on in the hockey world. We'll also talk to Stephen Brunt live from Dunedin. Jays will be brought up, I promise you. But we are also going to get Stephen's take regarding what's taking place right now in the sporting world. And when I get going here, I'm going to go for a little bit, Deej. Anything you want to say off the front of this? We've reached an interesting point in this story with world health considerations in sports, have we not?
We have, and I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, if you will. When these stories started, I felt like there was a North American exceptionalism. Oh, yeah, that's happening over there, but that's not going to impact us and our sports. Guess what? Viruses don't really care about borders, evidently.
No.
So, yeah, we're going to see some real outcomes, and that are going to cost real dollars.
It's funny, though, you say that. When Italian soccer began postponing first division games a few weeks ago, and I mean Serie A games, one of the biggest sports leagues in the world, you kind of knew, at least I kind of knew, it was only a matter of time before the coronavirus outbreak would impact leagues all over the place in a serious way. And the walls here in North America seem to have been closing for the last several days on this issue. Earlier today, the realities of this new world were finally felt at a professional level. And you're starting to get the feeling, as Donovan just said, this is the tip of the iceberg. Let's start with our first game behind closed doors, and it is from the NBA. San Francisco health officials have prohibited events of more than 1,000 people for the next 2 weeks. So there will be no fans in attendance tomorrow night when the Warriors host the Brooklyn Nets. That is official. Also, all further events at Chase Center have been canceled through March 21st. That seemed to be the biggest story of the day in terms of a cancellation. Then we got this about 20 minutes before we went to air. College basketball fans, heads up. The NCAA tournament begins next week in earnest. Today, President Mark Emmert announced all upcoming championships, including the men's and women's basketball tournaments, will be played with only essential staff and limited family in attendance, a.k.a. no fans at this year's NCAA men's or women's basketball tournament. We'll chop that one up in a second. Additionally, a top U.S. health official recommended today all NBA games should be played without fans present. The league was scheduled to hold a conference call with its owners at around 4:30 Eastern. No word yet on how that went. We are awaiting news from Adam Silver. Once we get that, we'll obviously sum it up to you as best we can. Elsewhere, the governor of Ohio called for a ban on spectators and said the state will issue new rules regarding mass gatherings. We'll see how that affects tomorrow night's game between the Blue Jackets, who are scheduled, as of this second, to be home against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Elsewhere, the San Francisco Giants have canceled their exhibition game against Oakland March 24th. A reminder, Major League Baseball's opening day is scheduled for 2 weeks from tomorrow. One day after the governor of Washington, Jay Inslee, banned public gatherings of 250 or more in his state, we got news today regarding the Mariners. They announced that their opening series against the Rangers will be played at an alternate location. Nothing official yet. Their spring training facility in Arizona right now seems to be the front runner there. Stay tuned. Also, the Seattle Sounders, reigning Major League Soccer champions, have postponed their game, scheduled for Saturday, against FC Dallas. Back to hockey. The Maple Leafs and Canadiens reportedly are among NHL teams that have prohibited scouts from flying to games. Some are still driving within reason, but flying out of the question. Also, the World Figure Skating Championships, scheduled to begin 1 week from today in Montreal, have been outright canceled. They are not going to happen, period. There are about nine other things happening right now. I'm watching a live feed from Paris as Paris Saint-Germain and Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League at the Parc des Princes are in front of nobody playing the second leg round of 16 Champions League game. There are a lot of other things I want to touch on here, Deej. But in terms of what I just laid out, specifically the NCAA tournament without fans as suggested by their coronavirus committee, and then you have the first behind-closed-doors game scheduled for tomorrow night in San Francisco between the Warriors and the Nets, and Mark Spears will be joining us a little later on, so we'll get his take. Can you wrap your head around what I just laid out there?
A bunch of people walked away from billions of dollars is what basically you said. So take a breath, because that was a lot.
But if the TV contracts are still being honored, are they walking away from billions of dollars? That's the part of this that I can't walk away from, is that, yes, events without fans is super weird and not the way this is supposed to go, and it will take a long time for a lot of us to get used to it because, as you said off the front of the show, and I agree with you 100%, this is just beginning in terms of the lack of gatherings, the lack of fans, the lack of any atmosphere. And I get why. But if the TV contracts are still being upheld, CBS and Turner, pardon me, for the NCAA men's tournament, Deej, if the games are still going to be played, do you think billions are being lost by these leagues? Because I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I do.
Really?
And I do. And I think we can't just think about the leagues in a vacuum. There are so many side economies that come off of the strength
Absolutely.
Of these leagues and these events. And
Absolutely.
If we use the NCAA, one of the side economies is the other scholarship sports. The fact that the March Madness tournament makes money, not just for the NCAA or basketball, but it makes money so that you have a rowing team. Well, that just changes the equation of how things go. When is the NCAA going to have to make good in terms of in-arena sponsors at all of these venues across the country? Are they going to have to make good in terms of ticket sales? Are they going to make good in terms of suite sales? We're talking about billions and billions and billions of dollars of revenue just on the live event in attendance. Forget about the TV contract, which is gravy. So you've been to the NCAA tournament to cover it. Yeah. I have as well. The best part of it, and this is the Final Four, never mind the regionals getting to that point, the best part of it is that you have multiple fan bases flying in from all over the country basically taking over a town and imparting with them lots and lots and lots of money for that economy. That's why people bid lots of money to host. Are those cities going to get some money back? These are the questions that we'll find out over the next week or so. And then when you look at the professional leagues who are then saying, we're not going to play with fans in attendance, yeah, they have a lot of money. But how does this impact the salary cap if all of a sudden the Warriors are giving back every night billions of dollars to fans who all pay at least a G to get in the building? Golden State Warriors fans, and remember, their owners paid for Chase in cash, their arena. They've seen Steph Curry for all of two games so far. After Kevin Durant left and Klay Thompson has been on ice and Draymond has been on layaway. So, yeah, I think those fans want some money back. So how does that impact the salary cap next year? The cap projections are based off of the Warriors being very profitable. I think there's going to be a financial trickle effect that impacts these leagues and the cities that they inhabit.
I don't disagree with that. But the real kick in the pants, though, is if the games get canceled. Because I got to be honest with you, we're going to see a lot of these stories coming in over the next couple hours and over the next few days. And I appreciate anyone listening or watching who's like, I don't want to deal with this. Well, games are being played behind closed doors. We got to kind of deal with it, right? This is unprecedented, and who knows where it's going. My point is, though, if the games get canceled, like what if a player in the NCAA tournament tests positive for coronavirus?
It's a wrap.
You have to shut. It's over. It is over. The TV contract doesn't matter. None of it matters. That you're in quarantine for 14 days. Anyone who's been in contact with you is in quarantine for 14 days. Where were you for the conference tournament? Every ACC school is in quarantine for, like, this. If one more thing takes place, like, I know it's weird not having fans there. We're a step away from not having anything. In the NBA, in the NHL, in the NCAA, and I don't want to sit here and complain about no fans there when we are this close to nothing being there at all. And then everyone's life kind of changes. It's changing as we speak, but everyone's life kind of changes in the fantasy world and sports that we live in drastically. That's what's kind of got me. But I'm also thinking about the not as important stuff about an NCAA tournament as we've watched it our entire lives. Like, if you're cutting down the nets, so no one's there to see you cut down the nets, like, you advance to the Final Four and no one's, like, how does that work? Like, I'm going to miss not having five fans from a school acting like they're the Duke, like at Duke going, on defense. I'm going to miss that. There are little things, there are things about the fans not being there I will genuinely miss.
I'm going to miss a team going on a 10-2 run and then some guy at the end of the bench telling the crowd to get up. Is he still going to do that? What's his role now?
There's no need.
Are we still going to have cheerleaders? I need a shot of a cheerleader when a team is eliminated earlier than they thought. I need that shot.
Is the cheering crew essential personnel? Do you believe an NCAA Division I cheerleading crew who worked their ass off, for the record? Are they essential personnel?
I watch cheer on Netflix. They may be the best athletes in those arenas. I would say yes.
Somebody in my ear, the band. Who cares? What about the band?
Strike up the band is an actual term.
Are you playing Blur's Song 2 with trombones? Like, I need to hear that. Are you kidding me? No. Essential. Here's what you need. You need players, refs, overpaid coaches, Kevin Harlan, and Grant Hill. That's all I need. Maybe Jim Nantz.
No, you need the
you
band.
You can keep Jim Nantz.
You need the cheerleaders. What I'm actually afraid of is we're now actually going to be able to hear what these overpaid coaches say to the players who are not paid.
The F-bombs you're going to see from these Catholic schools, some of them, are going to be epic. By the way, and you mentioned before we come on here, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta is hosting this year's Final Four. That hosts 70,000 on an NFL Sunday.
Is it hosting the Final Four? There's no need.
Why would you run it out of there?
I don't know, because you're not going to have 70,000 people watching. So why do I need to play basketball in a football stadium, which already, at the best of times, is a mess, with an elevated stage of a court?
But why would you? But if you have it booked, like, what are you going to take it to the South Florida Bulls gym? Where are you going to take it?
You could take it anywhere. You could take it to a concert venue if you really wanted to.
But if there's
you
no
could play it on blacktop.
But if there's there no, are fans no fans there, there's no fans there. Who cares? Well, what is the issue with you still having it in Atlanta at a football stadium?
Why do I have to do a triple jump just to check into a game because we're playing in a football stadium? Is that necessary?
All right. This is not the issue I thought you would have today with all this, but I'm rather interested in it. I'm happy they're playing the game. I'm just happy they're playing the games. Because when I woke up this morning, I'm like, I don't know what the hell we're going to see from hour to hour.
They're playing the games for now.
Until.
As of right now, they're playing the games.
Until the 10th guy off the bench at Louisville maybe has a positive test.
The grad assistant? It's always the grad assistant.
The trainer. The guy who gets up and usually does this is the guy who shuts it down.
Yeah, and I don't want to make light of it because it's actually a pandemic and a real health crisis. I will say,
by the way, the World Health Organization called it a pandemic today. Yeah, go ahead, DJ.
If you weren't sure, it now is officially one. I will say, let's not mistake the fact that, for me, a lot of the reason why we are not having fans at these games now, starting to, is, in a way, to help the fans and keep them safe. It's about keeping those players safe. Because to your point, if player X in the NBA gets coronavirus, it's not just load management for that player. The league and the playoff revenue, and now the broadcasters no longer have games, that's an entirely different conversation.
It's a wrap. If anyone associated with one team, again, before we came on, we're getting information constantly. Your producer Thomas Dobby's in my ear. Who was the second division German team that had a positive Hanover. Hanover 96 in Germany, normally a Bundesliga team. They're right now in the second division. I've been told there's a positive test on Hanover. So now there is immediate talk that they're going to shut down the German second division on that alone. You don't have to look at who they've been in contact with. You don't have to look at a schedule. Nothing. I mean, Arsenal and Man City got postponed today because Arsenal last week in the Europa League came in contact with the infected owner of Olympiacos. That's how quickly it can happen. So it's a wild scenario right now. And a lot of people are like, well, the fans won't be there. It's terrible. I'm telling you, we are like a day and one test away from losing it all. And if one of those NBA tests or NHL tests is in an arena where two teams are housed, everyone's in the same boat, man. Like if you're at Staples and there's a positive test at Staples, Gary Bettman and Adam Silver have major league issues.
And it's not even
major league
and
issues.
And it obviously would get a lot of headlines if it's a player.
Right.
Even if someone who works at that arena gets a positive test, it's a massive conversation with real implications. So a fluid story that we, sadly, I think we'll be talking about on this show for quite some time.
Two updates before we go here. One, UEFA's under a lot of pressure to at least move the European Soccer Championship this summer, which ironically was scheduled in like 11 countries or whatever it was. There was a 13 cities, 13 countries. This was not the tournament to do this in hindsight, but c'est la vie.
And where does it start?
Rome?
Italy.
Oh, it's scheduled for Rome. You're right. I had no idea. And a member of the Japanese Olympic Committee for the Tokyo Games today did the mistake of having an honest interview with the Wall Street Journal saying maybe it's best to move it. Not only was that walked back, the official in question had to apologize publicly.
I'm sure he did.
The Tokyo Olympic Committee are basically saying we're still a go. Sure. Sure the Olympics are still a go. Really. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to do some hockey. We're going to move on here as best we can. We're going to keep our eye on our Twitter feeds because these stories are moving quickly. I'm Sid Sixero. He's Donovan Bennett. Timmy's off today. This is Tim and Sid. Good to talk to you. Good to see you. Welcome back to Tim and Sid for a busy Wednesday. Sid Sixero, Donovan Bennett, in for Tim McAuliffe. We'll get to the hockey story from last night. But a couple of tweets on the last segment and the new sporting circumstances we find ourselves in. Again, specifically, in case you missed it, March Madness NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments will be played starting next week with no fans in the stands due to public health concerns. DJ got a couple tweets. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, Steve Hansen says, no fans is too weird. Make something of nothing. Each team gets one super fan. We hear all their heckles. We vote on the better super fan. A little side bracket on super fans. But doesn't that just end up being like the most famous alum, like Magic Johnson for Michigan State?
But I want to take it to like if it's a situation where the NHL are playing behind closed, like have Dangle be the fan.
Okay.
I do like the idea of one fan from each side just cursing at each other from across the ice or the court.
Yeah,
and smartest heckler wins the day. It's like a showdown of some sort. I love that idea.
Is Madison from The Bachelor the fan for Auburn?
We're going to talk about The Bachelor. We're going to talk about Barb.
I keep trying
up.
To get it in.
Barb just laid it down. No one's telling Barb what to do. If Barb worked at NCAA, no one's telling Barb what to do. Barb. We have one more, but on a more serious note about the NCAA, Kia Nurse just tweeted something that I hadn't really thought about, but I thought was a great point.
Yeah, she said, "My heart hurts for all the seniors whose last shot at a national championship, and for some, their last career game ever is going to be played in an empty arena, big crowds in March. There's really nothing like it." And that is, as a former athlete, I mean, Kia's still an athlete, that is a side of it that you don't think of, but it's true. You run those steps and lift those weights for that stage, and that stage is literally now going to be empty.
There is some reporting going on right now. Is it Sam Amick, guys? Sam Amick in The Athletic. Forgive me, I'm just reading this as I'm on with you here. The NBA reportedly is considering pushing back the entire NBA calendar.
Wow.
So that is one of the ideas that Sam Amick of The Athletic is floating. Again, the league met with talked to the PA in a conference call today. They met with ownership reportedly in the last hour. That's the first we're kind of hearing of some of those discussions. So we'll have a bit more on that coming up. Mark Spears of ESPN will join us momentarily. Games did happen last night. It's a fun to talk about. Once again, with their backs against the wall, the Leafs came up with a much-needed 2-1 win over the Lightning yesterday. Frederik Andersen was good. Limited the NHL's best offense to a goal on 33 shots. Leafs' struggling power play did not struggle. Scored twice, including Austin Matthews, his 47th, as he marches towards 50. Toronto's lead over Florida is back to 3 points. Donovan Bennett, do you feel better about the Leafs' playoff chances after this one? Do you sense the Leafs have any confidence or consistency in them?
I mean, I never really felt bad about them. I always felt like they were going to figure it out. They were going to make it into the postseason. They're like a prize fighter that's against the ropes. They're just trying to get to the late rounds where they get their legs back. I think their legs are back. Morgan Riley, defensively an anchor, who played 8 minutes in the third and second on the team in terms of offensive minutes last night, was back, and you could see the difference. This is a team that scored 7 on them on that netminder earlier in the year, and they played pretty responsibly defensively. But also I thought that their power play was going to revert back to the mean because they have great offensive players. I just think it would be crazy to just overreact to a small sample size and think, oh, the reason why they're struggling is because their power play is terrible. I always knew that they would get back to playing good hockey, especially when their top six is so talented. Why are you looking at me like that?
For those who didn't pick up on it, Donovan Bennett blatantly mocked my mocking of the Leafs' power play a few days ago and is throwing to a montage where it shows both my mocking and the two goals scored on the power play last night. Run it. 5 straight games without a power play goal? Tavares, $16 million. Austin Matthews, $15.9 million. Marner, $15.9 million. William Nylander, apparently the greatest hockey player ever at the time, $9 million. Paying them season. 5 games without a power play goal. Hey, member of the Leafs, they know you're going to Matthews across the rink. They know. You're not Ovechkin. They know, and it can be stopped.
Deflect in front, they score! Mitch Marner stuffed it in front of the net, and after the initial shot was stopped, Nylander was there to jam it home. Now on the left wing for Tavares, back into the corner. Marner has it again. Centering pass, they score! What a feed from Mitchell Marner! And it's 34, banging it home!
The behind-the-scenes crew got a good chuckle out of that one, kids. Real good chuckle.
So are you going to start
apparently doing... Apparently not everyone knows about that thing to Matthews, by the way.
Are you going to start not doing everyone. The breakdown videos like Bourne, where you
I can't touch
hockey-splain
I
things to us?
I can't touch Bourne on that. Those
evidently
so
not.
Good. No. Are you kidding me? But, listen, it was a... I looked at the box score a couple times to make sure I wasn't screwing up. The Leafs did not have a plus player last night and won. They win in some weird circumstances, man.
It's kind of hard to do.
They 2 power play goals, gave one up. Not a plus player on the Leafs last night, technically, and they still go in there and beat a team in Tampa who are one of the best in the National Hockey League and were without Victor Hedman and Stamkos last night. Listen, 5-on-5, it's still not there. That whatever was happening on the West Coast, the power play looked good. Give them credit. Power play looked good. But 5-on-5, they still look a little iffy, but whatever. It's this. It's at the point of year where you got to get the points. They're 3 points up on Florida. They got Nashville and UC Soros, who's the hottest goalie in the league tomorrow night. So overall, I can't really rip on the Leafs too badly. They get done what they needed to. Go ahead, Deej. Before, well, I was going to go to Morgan Riley. Go ahead.
I think they do have had a plus player. His name was Frederick Anderson.
Sorry, Frederick Anderson, correct.
Yeah, 35 saves.
Well said, though.
But what I did not like is maybe their lack of protection of that plus player.
Let's dive into that. Let's dive into that. So Blake Coleman, there were a couple instances last night, but Blake Coleman went through the crease and hammers Frederick Anderson in the helmet. The same Frederick Anderson who is pretty important to the Leafs, the same Frederick Anderson who's had concussion issues in the past, the same Frederick Anderson who has missed time with a neck injury this season. Alex Killorn, also in that hockey game, thought Frederick Anderson was a park bench and decided to take a rest on him. Now, I want to run specifically, guys, if you could give me the Blake Coleman one more time. Donovan, count with me how many Leafs react angrily at Blake Coleman for hitting Frederick Anderson in the head.
Hard to watch.
And the answer is none. Cody Ceci looks right like there, he's staring down a buffet in Vegas. He has no one on the ice, not Dermott, not Tavares. Nobody has any interest in reacting to what Blake Coleman just did to arguably your most important guy, although with Jack Campbell around, maybe it's not as important as it used to be, but still, he's your starting goalie, a.k.a. pretty important. Did that surprise you last night, the lack of reaction in terms of your starting goaltender? What the hell is going on with that team? Honestly, what is wrong with that team? Do they not care about each other in any way, shape, or form? What if that was Tuukka Rask, what would have happened? What would have happened?
I think they care about winning, and certainly they know that he's their most valuable player, and this playoff conversation that we're having hypothetically doesn't exist if he's on the shelf for an extended period of time, never mind the rest of the regular season. I just kind of feel, outside of Ceci, who was literally right there, like maybe they didn't see it.
Maybe they didn't see
it. I'm just trying to...
What the hell are you talking about? Maybe they didn't see it.
Looking at the puck, it's kind of blocked.
Everybody saw it. Only an idiot would not have seen it.
Look, Dermott's kind of skating past.
He hit Frederick Anderson with a history of concussions, with a history of neck injuries this season, as recently as this season, and no one flinched. Nobody flinched. Sheldon Keefe was asked about this today. Guys, let me know if we have the clip. Sheldon Keefe was asked about this today. We didn't cut it? Okay. So basically he said, you'd like to see a reaction, but you don't want to see him go overboard. I'm not saying go overboard. I'm saying someone on skates move towards Blake Coleman. That's what I'm saying. Someone wearing blue last night. Run it again, please. Someone wearing blue last night. Take a stride in any type of menacing fashion towards the guy wearing 20 in white. That's all I'm asking. I'm not saying Kadri and cross-check a guy in the face. It's not what I'm saying. But teams that don't play for each other don't win anything. Anything. This team, there is something going on with this group, and it's worrisome to me. Do you know what the craziest quote of the last 2 weeks? Sheldon Keefe. Before Morgan Riley came back last night, he played 21 minutes and he looked pretty good. Sheldon Keefe was asked, how vocal is Morgan Riley in the room? And how many guys in the Leafs dressing room are vocal? He said, two guys are vocal. Two. Morgan Riley, who was about to come back, and Jake Muzzin, who's been there 18 minutes. Still, I know he just signed an extension. He's still, from a seniority standpoint, Jake Muzzin ain't the oldest guy in that room. There's something very strange with this group. They're incredibly talented. No one can debate that. On their day, they are one of the best teams in the National Hockey League when the offense is flowing. This isn't the time of year where you see that a lot. But when it is, when they're having fun, when they're feeling good about themselves, when Marner's going between the legs and, hey, it's a fun team. How on earth do you explain that reaction last night on Frederick Anderson? You are telling the hockey world, you're telling Brad Marchand, you're telling Blake Coleman, you're telling Alex Killorn, you're telling Patrice Bergeron, you're telling anyone who goes near your own crease, have at it, Haas. Go ahead. Do whatever you want. I find that bizarre. Do you not find that bizarre? I find that really strange.
I think they didn't see it. I think outside.
Oh, my God.
Listen, Tavares is looking behind the net. Dermott's moving towards behind the net. He's basically past him. CC, you got no excuse, my guy. I'm trying. I don't know where the other two guys on the ice are.
They didn't see it.
Look, Dermott's already past
them. The puck is by the net.
I will say.
The goalie, I'm assuming they have good peripheries. They're National Hockey League players. I'll assume that. Maybe they didn't. Dermott is looking kind of the other way. I'll defend Travis Dermott.
Thank you. One down.
So what about the other four guys? There's this little hole in your theory here, Donovan Bennett.
I will say this. If one of them, let's use CC, because I don't really have an alibi for you, my friend. Like you.
There's zero defending Cody CC in that situation.
If he goes and he gives him a face full of glove.
Zero.
And gets a roughing penalty, he's in the box for 2 minutes. Like, does that help? Is Coleman going to think twice the next time? Is Tom Wilson going to think twice 2 months from now? Does it actually make a deterrent in terms of protecting your goalkeeper? I was actually more concerned that no one really was like, hey, Fred, are you okay? Can I help you up, my guy? Because you were once again saving us. That actually is more perturbing than them trying to get eye for an eye vengeance.
See, there's some debate about that play, but there's no debate when you get to one guy. We have one tweet at Tim and said, Dermot Tavares did not see the hit. Watch the clip again. CC, he was right there. So, CC, there's some consensus here. Jay at Tim and Sid, exactly right about the goalie situation. What was CC doing? I mean, is there a more damning statement than what is CC doing? I can't find. But you know what? I want to wrap up this portion of the conversation by doing two things. One, transitioning to the Canucks, but two, showing how the Canucks may handle a similar situation. Guys, give me the Elias Pettersson behind the net in the third period. Elias Pettersson gets shoved by Brock Nelson behind the net. Canucks win the game in a shootout 5-4. Huge game for them. Elias Pettersson's behind the net. Brock Nelson gives him a shove. The newest guy on the roster, Tyler Toffoli, races over to Brock Nelson, doesn't cheap shot him, doesn't put a stick in his face, but he grabs him and says, no, 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 no. Don't do that to Elias Pettersson.
That's what he said?
That's my Tyler Toffoli impression, yes. Yeah. No, 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 no. He's Dikembe Mutombo.
Can't wait for the NHL mic'd up sound on that.
No Leaf would have done that for their own guy. No Leaf would have skated all of 5 feet to put a hand on another player to even suggest, do not do that with our most important players. That's where the Leafs are going to get buried again. It's not on talent. It's not on skill. Everyone knows they're loaded with it. There's something in that room where it's off. There is a feel to this team that is uniquely odd. And I can't put my finger on it. I don't know how to explain it. But when you don't flinch when your goalie gets hit in the head like that with a history of concussions and neck injuries, and you got to see Tyler Toffoli, who's been there 10 games, defending Elias Pettersson, that's a big difference to me. That's a huge difference to me. I'm not saying the Canucks are winning a first-round series, but I want to see that from if I'm Travis Green, I want to see that. I don't know what Sheldon Keefe is thinking during that. I'm really concerned during that. And it didn't happen once last night. It happened twice. Alex Killorn kind of did the same thing.
I understand your point. I think Benning is happier that he made the Toffoli deal because of the 6 goals that he's given him in the 10 games, not because he's racing behind the net to protect his teammates. But I disagree that no Leaf would do that. I think Riley would do that. I think Clifford would do that. I think there are guys in that room that would do that. Just, you don't see it maybe in as much abundance. I mean, I just named two. You don't think Morgan Riley would protect a teammate?
I'll give you Morgan Riley.
Okay, thank you.
Frankly, I wasn't listening to the two names because I was reading tweets. I don't know if you noticed.
That's fine.
Oh, okay, so we settled. Anything? I'll give you last word on the fact that the Leafs seem like they don't play for each other. Last word. I'm not leaving this take. That was damning evidence last night. It's not the first time weird stuff has happened to an important player and everyone's headed to the bench for some Gatorade and a TV timeout. That's not the first time with that team. I find it very strange.
I'm not bothered by it.
Okay. Agree to disagree, because I've had a hell of a day. I'm going to stay positive. How about the Vancouver Canucks last night?
Yes.
We mentioned a 5-4 shootout victory. Brock Besser came back, played 17 minutes, looked okay. Good that he was healthy. Are you feeling Thatcher Demko 45 saves? I don't know how I don't mention Thatcher Demko 45 saves in last night's hockey game against the Isles. The Isles are free falling. I don't think they're making the playoffs. Do you think the Canucks, in about 30 seconds left, DJ, forgive me for this time, do you like the Canucks to make the postseason, yes or no?
No. I mean, the fact that Demko had to make so many saves is an issue, and Besser was supposed to be the fix-all. Well, he was pointless in his 11 before he got hurt. Didn't have a goal last night. They are trending in the wrong direction. So I still have many concerns. You?
If Demko can give him that, they're in it.
But that's
a lot of faith.
Big ask.
It's a
45. He's going to stop 45 pucks every night?
I'm not disagreeing with you. It's a good point. It's a big ask. But maybe he's kind of getting comfortable, right? Maybe the nerves are off. He doesn't feel like the backup right now. Maybe he's getting more comfortable. Hopefully for them.
He stood on his head and they gave up four goals. That's not a recipe for sustained success.
I'm not saying consistently allow 45 shots on your goalie.
That's 49.
So 49. He made 45 saves. I'm just saying I have faith.
I like
the makeup of this team a lot. I'm a huge Travis Green guy. I have faith the Canucks will find a way to get in with Winnipeg.
Okay.
Hopefully they're playing games with fans in the stands. Time for a break. Mark Spears will join us. Speaking of, again, for those just tuning in, Warriors-Nets tomorrow night in San Francisco, no fans in the stands. It is official. Mark Spears of ESPN will join us next. This is Tim and Sid and Donovan on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Spears, he was all nice. He would have handled it.
Mark Spears would have handled it in a second. I could do that to Frederick Anderson. Welcome back to Tim and Sid. It's Xero Donovan Bennett. Tim McAuliffe is off today. Mark Spears of ESPN joining us in just a couple seconds. One quick update regarding the NCAA, who again have decided to play the men's and women's basketball tournament starting next week behind closed doors. No fans. Donovan threw out a notion earlier in the show. I laughed at it. Based on the next tweet he's about to read, I think Donovan is right. Go ahead.
Kind of how things work on this show. Ralph DiRusso, Associated Press college football writer, tweeted, Mark Emmert says the NCAA is looking to move the Final Four out of Mercedes-Benz Stadium into a smaller venue in Atlanta. Regional sites could also be moved from the currently scheduled arenas to smaller venues in same cities. The plan is to keep sites for the first round as is. And I talked about the ripple effect. Talk about all the employees that were booked to work in these venues. The Airbnb venues that have been booked since. You're going to get refunds for all that. There is so many more dominoes to fall based on what the NCAA is doing in real time.
So we have the NCAA announcement today, earlier today, before that. Nets and Warriors tomorrow night. San Francisco officials saying, nope, no fans going to that game. That will be played behind closed doors. Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN, The Undefeated. Joining us, Spearsy, he's been a longtime friend of the show. These are very interesting, trying times. Spearsy, we do appreciate you coming on here. You are in the Bay Area. I'll let you pick first between the NBA game tomorrow night, March Madness. Where's your head at right now?
Well, I'm actually going to go globally. I'm actually supposed to be in Senegal right now. I was supposed to be at the debut of the Basketball Africa League and was supposed to depart from New York to Dakar last night. Obviously, I'm not there. Obviously, that got postponed. That was one of the first dominoes to go down. I was at the Warriors game yesterday, and you guys will see when the Raptors are back. It's weird from a media standpoint because you're 6-7 feet away from everybody. It's very, odd environment, but I certainly understand. So today, Mayor London Breed in San Francisco said, like, hey, enough is enough. I'm going to make it where it's against the law for more than 1,000 people to be in a venue. So it wasn't the Warriors' decision, ultimately. It was the city of San Francisco, like the city of San Jose did for the Sharks, kind of basically saying that they can't do this anymore, or at least for the time being.
But the implications are at the Warriors' doorstep. Now, a lot of people paid a lot of money for season seats in Chase. They will maybe have seen Steph Curry play in that building all of twice this season. What will be the ripple effect, not just on the franchise fiscally, but we know since they're such a high earner, maybe even on the league and the cap because of what we're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors said that they're going to lose millions of dollars with each passing game. I'm more worried about, and you mentioned it earlier, the people working there, the ones that are in the concessions, the ones that are in the VIP suites, which they have a lot of them in this place. Yeah, the Warriors are going to lose money. The NBA is going to lose money. I think as TV networks are probably going to do better under the circumstances. But I'm more worried about the common man, the common woman, who now that they've lost this income, it's really going to affect them. You know, what happens long term? I guess there's talk about maybe even pushing the NBA season back. I can't envision the NBA finals with nobody there. I think it's just all fluid, and hopefully soon this thing will be under control. But based on what I've heard from my own doctor friends, man, I'm really, really nervous and scared about what's going on. And while money is important, our health is much more important and lives are more important.
Here, here. Mark Spears joining us here on Tim and Sid. So, I mean, just to go to what DJ was saying as well about the NCAA tournament, the local economic impacts in all of those site cities, and I mean, the common man, you like times it by about 5, 6, 7 for a tournament of that scale. Like, for Canadian fans watching and listening to this, Spearsy, who know, obviously, of March Madness, but don't know it like that, like, how big a decision is that from an economic standpoint around the United States?
Well, what do you consider the biggest venue in Canada?
Biggest venue in Canada? I mean, the Big O, Rogers Centre, what am I missing? That's about it. Rogers Commonwealth Center. Stadium in Edmonton. Like that's probably the biggest one.
So imagine Rogers Stadium being used for a basketball game. Like it did, I guess, in the early Raptors years, being filled to the brim. That's basically what the Final Four does in America. Maybe something that could put people into perspective with it. Remember when the All-Star game was in Dallas and it was held at Cowboys Stadium? There were 100,000 people there. The NCAA tournament brings that many. So that venue in which the NCAA tournament Final Four is going to be is the same place that the Atlanta Falcons of the NFL play in. So you're talking about 100,000 fans. How many of those people are coming, flying in, staying at hotels, using Uber or Lyft or cabs, eating at the local restaurants? It's big problem that's going to cause a lot of people much deeper than the teams. Because, you know, I feel only so much bad for the teams and the venues because they'll write it off somehow, right? But it's that person that is not getting the Uber drives, and who knows if it ends up, or like, I don't think it's the case in Toronto, but the homeless problem out here is absolutely horrible. And maybe this pushes that. There's so many trickle-down things that could come, just not just from sporting events, but people not going outside, not going to restaurants. People out here, like, just petrified just to go get a coffee around the corner. So there's going to be a lot of pain that's going to come from this. And hopefully, man, somehow we could get a handle on it.
The Atlanta Hawks CEO, Steve Koonin, at Sloan Conference, unrelated to this, floated the idea of moving the NBA season back, going head-to-head with the NFL less. And based off of that, I just wonder, maybe do you just move everything back, as you said, so that you make sure you have fans at the finals? It's not going to help the common man, as you mentioned, check to check right now, but at least there'll still be those dates where there is a lot of buzz around arenas. Is that probably the next conversation you think the league's going to start to have?
You know what? If things get into a bad situation, I wouldn't be surprised if they push the NBA season back a month. Hopefully we don't get there, because if we get there, man, I don't know if you're going to be thinking about any sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think in terms of colleges for the Final Four, the NCAA tournament, it's going to be harder to do. But if you want to put it in a position where teams could make up their money, where the people working there can make up their money, in terms of an NBA standpoint, no concerts and such will get fixed. Maybe it's not a bad idea to just say, hey, players, we're going to take a break for a month and come back, kind of like what they did in China Basketball Association. They're actually asking their players to come back now, the American players, which their American players are saying, nah, man, we're going to stay right here. We don't want any of that. But under the state of things right now, and thinking about the financial ramifications, would it be the end of the world for the NBA to push it back a month? That might end up being a really great idea.
It could. It could. Spearsy, everyone's kind of stopped in their tracks here, and we appreciate you coming on while we're trying to find or feel our way through this. Your input's always welcome. It wouldn't be the same show without you. Thanks, man.
Oh, man. Pray, everybody.
Love you. Mark Spears. See you, bro. In the Bay Area, again, for those just tuning in, Nets Warriors tomorrow night behind closed doors. March Madness starting next week, the NCAA Men's and Women's Tournament behind closed doors. Just now, during that conversation with Mark Spears, I got word in my ear the Columbus Blue Jackets for the foreseeable future will also be playing hockey games behind closed doors at Nationwide Arena beginning tomorrow night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. I've been in that building. It is one of the loudest buildings in North America, period. That is going to be a different vibe. We're going to step aside. We're going to kind of reset. Stephen Brunt is going to join us live from Dunedin. I need to talk to Stephen Brunt today.
Need to hear his voice.
I need to hear Stephen's voice. This is Tim and Sid and Donovan on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's time for real sports talk with Tim McCallum and Sid Sexero.
Thank you, Sheepdogs. Back here alongside Donovan Bennett for another full hour on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Timmy has the day off. Still to come, Elliot Friedman joins us for 3 of 31. We'll discuss the Jets and Oilers. Tonight's matchup on Scotiabank. Wednesday night hockey, an important game. Connor McDavid scheduled to come back. Missed the Vegas game due to an illness. We're going to talk to Stephen Brunt in just a couple seconds. They're quickly up to speed regarding the coronavirus. The World Health Organization today labeled it a pandemic. We have sports updates on this. Tomorrow night's Nets-Warriors game will be played behind closed doors. The entire NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament scheduled to be played with no fans in the stands beginning next Thursday. The latest piece of news from the Columbus Blue Jackets, we have a statement from them. It reads as follows. I'll just read the first paragraph. It tells you all you need to know. The Blue Jackets are aware of Governor DeWine's announcement today that an order prohibiting mass gatherings in the state of Ohio is forthcoming. We have been in contact with the NHL regarding this matter and will abide by the state's mandate. Remaining home games, while the order is in effect, including tomorrow versus Pittsburgh, will be played as scheduled, but with restricted attendance in compliance with today's announcement. Admission to games will be limited to home and visiting club personnel, credentialed media, broadcast partners, essential club and arena staff, and NHL officials. The games will be closed to the public. Those are the big ones today. So you're up to speed. Stephen Brunt on Writer's Block with Jeff Blair has been working through all of this like the rest of us. Stephen has been kind enough to join us live from Dunedin, where the Jays did play a game today, and we will get to that. The Jays are actually having a pretty good spring. I will gladly focus on that, Stephen, momentarily, believe me. But it wouldn't feel right today, considering that you agreed to come on, without getting someone who we love and respect like yourself just to kind of walk us through where you're at, considering some of the news that has come down today.
Well, hey, I'm flying blind like everybody else here, to be honest. We are in uncharted territory, and I think everybody is struggling to understand and to understand what the appropriate response is. But in terms of sports, in the tiny little world where we reside, and I think you now have seen the path. I think the path has become pretty clear, which is, you know, it began with canceling events where people were going to come in from all parts of the globe, like the World Figure Skating Championships or the Women's World Hockey Tournament. But I think the idea of games being played in arenas, empty arenas and empty stadiums, I think that's what we're going to see this spring across the board. I think that's what you're going to see in all professional sports in North America. It's a solution to a degree. It means the games go on. The business of the games goes on. You know, it would be terrible for the people who make their livings in those arenas, because I'm not sure anybody's going to come to their rescue. But rather than canceling everything outright, my guess is that this is the next step and that the dominoes are going to tumble pretty quickly. You know, it's been today a lot of stuff has happened just over the course of the last few hours. But, you know, look, I'd be shocked, you know, if a week from now we're not talking about all of the major sports going that route, empty stadiums, empty arenas, and honestly, with no, who knows, you know, how do you decide, how do you declare it safe? How do you know what the end point is? I don't think there's anybody, the World Health Organization or anybody, who could tell you right now exactly when that will be.
Yeah, the tricky part about this is there's certainly a fiscal side of it because these are businesses, but also there's a risk management side. The Warriors had a sign up at the arena last night saying you're entering the building at your own risk. I'm not sure that would play in a court of law, but how much of this is just making sure from a league and team standpoint that they cover their bases if there's eventually some legal action?
Yeah, maybe, Donovan. Yeah, they may be thinking about liability, but you know, it is a public health crisis, right? Like it's legit. It is across the board, and they're going to have to follow the guidance of health officials and politicians to a degree. And again, I know there have been mixed messages coming out, especially politically, especially in the country where I'm standing right now. It's been a little hard to understand sometimes what the message is coming from those in power. But I think when you are told this is a public health crisis and you are told by those in authority that mass gatherings are dangerous, at least preventing mass gatherings is a way to, as they say, flatten out the curve of the coronavirus, then I think you have a moral obligation to respond to that.
Stephen Brunt here on Tim and Sid, live from Dunedin at Jay's spring training. You know, a lot of focus around basketball and hockey is happening here. We are a little over 2 weeks away from a league that plays more games than anyone else in Major League Baseball. The Jays season opener is 2 weeks tomorrow. What are the Jays saying right now, Stephen? What's the feel around camp with Mark Shapiro and everyone? What's the word?
Well, they're kind of waiting for direction. Mark Shapiro was in on that conference call yesterday, was it, I believe, you know, which then led to the joint statement from all four leagues about what their plan was. They're being briefed on a daily basis, if not more, about what MLB's plans are. But, you know, again, it's a moving target here. You know, it really is. So they're awaiting direction. You know, they've enforced the clubhouses are closed to the media. That's no big deal, by the way. You know, a little inconvenience, but it makes a lot of sense. They're trying to, but, you know, I was in a stadium with 5,000 people today. There was a mass gathering to watch the Jays play a Grapefruit League game. Does that change before the end of spring training? Are those exhibition games in Montreal that close out the Grapefruit League, are they going to be played? And is the home opener going to be played in an empty stadium? Look, I can guarantee you, there is nobody in the Jays organization right now who can tell you definitively that, you know, one way or another, but certainly definitively that they're going to be, you know, it's full speed ahead, business as usual, off we go into a baseball season. I don't think they can do that or they would do that.
March Madness was a big one for me because it was really hard to justify having all those people travel and be in venues together.
They had to do that.
The next one other than you know, Euro, that you really see that being the same thing is the Olympics. The IOC isn't governed by a specific country or county.
They're governed by money. Yeah.
Correct. They're going to have to start to make some decisions pretty soon. How do you see that conversation going?
God knows. You know, like you heard a member of the Japanese Olympic Committee yesterday suggest that it could be pushed back by a year or by 2 years. And then the head of the Japanese Olympic Committee stepped in and said, no, we're not talking about that at all. You know, obviously there are financial considerations here. There are political considerations here. There's all kinds of stuff involved in that. But again, it's, you know, Dick Pound said originally, didn't he, that he thought they would have to make a call by May as to whether they would go ahead in July with the Olympic Games, that was the timeline. Can you imagine that we are in a position in May where anybody can say definitively, it's all fine, it's all clear, go ahead, have the people of the world, the athletes of the world, and all of the fans converge in Japan, which has been a hotspot, to watch the Olympic Games? I hope we get it all clear by May, and everybody says it's fine. I just have a hard time imagining that now.
Stephen, another piece of news here just came across, and you'd be interested in this. I'll throw it out to you and Donovan and the audience. News out of Italy tonight that a central defender for Juventus, a 25-year-old named Daniele Rugani, who's represented Italy 7 times, has tested positive for coronavirus. Now, no one expects Serie A in Italy to start anytime soon, obviously, with what's going on in that country. Sports have been banned. Everything's been banned, basically, for the next month. But Juventus do have a Champions League game with Lyon that was scheduled for next week. UEFA's under intense pressure to somehow figure a way around these fixtures. Roma could even fly into Spain today for a game against Sevilla tomorrow. But this, to me, Stephen, this is the next thing. If you have athletes who now test positive and are in contact with all their teammates and athletic trainers and coaches and family, the quarantine alone, if that happens here in North America, all of this talk of playing behind closed doors, it's going to be moot.
You're correct. Yeah, no, Sid, you're right. And that is the next step. And that's why, you know, we may be talking about an intermediate step here in terms of the empty arenas and people crossing their fingers and hoping. But the next question would be, what if? What if a team official, what if an athlete is test positive? You can't go on then. You can't. You would, that team will not be able to play. It's going to spiral, and the end result may be, you know, here that we do have a shutdown, that we do have a full shutdown. I think maybe it's naive for people to hope that if we, you know, and the larger risk is the mass gathering and the community spread, right, of this disease by thousands of people being close to each other. But you know, if we could all sit, but look, we can't sit here and say it's not going to creep in. Athletes aren't going to get it. You know, somebody in Northern Italy right now is in the number one hotspot in the world. It's not shocking that somebody who was in Turin might test positive for coronavirus. It's right near the epicenter.
Last one on this before we transition to the Jays. Sid made the point earlier in the show that some of these leagues have some insurance against losing some gate revenue because their TV contracts are very rich, and if games are played, they'll still make money that way. A league that depends on the gate and that's very close to both of our hearts is the CFL. And they've got a combine coming up at the end of the month. Training camps will start shortly thereafter, and then the league starts in the summer. If they have to either play in front of no fans or postpone games, what would that mean to that league?
Yeah, well, you're right. It's that the gate means more to them than to anybody, to any other league we can talk about, really. And hey, you know, Donovan, it's not just a combine. Remember, it's an international combine now. You know, you're talking about bringing players in from Europe, in theory, from Japan, from Brazil, where they just had a combine. That whole idea of the CFL 2.0. I can't imagine that will happen. But look, if we get to June and this is still raging, we're probably in a pretty different world, and that may be the least of the things we're talking about.
Stephen Brunn here on Tim and Sid. Permission to move on, Stephen.
Yes, sir. Let's do this awkward segue now to stuff that doesn't really matter, okay?
I'm fine with it because I want to smile a little at this Jays spring that's going well. Like, they're hitting home runs. The starting pitching has been reliable. You got Nate Pearson, who's got everyone excited. Hyunjin Ryu had 46 strikes on 66 pitches the last time out. What is your main headline, Stephen Brunt, down in Dunedin, on this Jays spring training right now?
Yeah, things have gone remarkably well. It's been, which again, you know, there's kind of that, hang on a second, there's a 16-ton weight about to drop on all of our heads here. Of course it's going well this year. But, you know, like my buddy Jeff Lehrer always says, you know, that only, you know, the only news in spring training is bad news. So, you know, and eventually there will be somebody will get hurt, or something will happen, or somebody will get, you know, something will go haywire. But honestly, you know, nothing has gone haywire for this spring. Like, not every performance by every player in every situation has been stellar, but the key guys and the core guys have all looked really good. The young players have looked really good. Nate Pearson's wowing everybody. You know, Chase Anderson looked exactly, you know, what you hope he is going to be, which is a guy who eats some innings. Again, albeit against the Baltimore Orioles today, or a reasonable facsimile. Tanner Roark doing the same thing against the Yankees. The middle of the rotation guys they brought in, Ryu looks like Ryu. You know, if Trent Thornton isn't up to the fifth job, or Sean Yamaguchi isn't up to the fifth job, there's a bunch of guys lined up who are going to be in Buffalo who will be ready for it. Bo Bichette hit a home run on the first pitch, screaming over the center field fence today. He looks like Bo Bichette. Yeah, it's like, look, I think you can – it's been interesting the last 2 days. We talked to both Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins on Writer's Block, And, you know, normally part of their job at this time of year would be to tap the brakes just a little and say, look, you know, we won 60-something games last year. We think we'll be better. But they haven't really done that. And they're kind of allowing people to dream on this team a little bit and say, well, you know, maybe if we're in it in July and there's somebody to be acquired, that we would be a buyer rather than a seller. Maybe, you know, maybe we're a little bit ahead of the game. Maybe with the Red Sox having the issues they've had and the Yankees with the injuries, and that opens a little bit of a window here in the American League East unexpectedly. Look, it'd be a massive leap to go from where they were last year to a team that's contending even in the middle of the summer. But the arrows are all pointing in the right direction, and it's really hard to argue with that. It's hard to be pessimistic about the big picture, even if you're kind of realistic about what's going to happen in the short term.
I'm glad you mentioned Shapiro and Atkins because, as you know, they are routinely criticized by the fan base, at times for their lack of investment. But one of the areas they certainly have invested is in the spring training complex and on human performance and giving guys the ability to succeed. You're down there. You can see it. It's tough to really track tangibly what the difference is. But what do you see with your eyes?
Well, first off, the investment part doesn't kind of like neither of their bank accounts get any lighter, right? The investment is from somebody,
right?
Somebody who's on a back where you guys are right now, right? The owners are the guys that decide how much they're going to spend, not Ross Atkins and not Mark Shapiro. They would love to have that power, but they did convince Rogers and the city of Dunedin to put some money into the spring training complex. And look, what we're seeing now is the public facing part of it, because that's what's done, which is the stadium, the big. The training complex is still a work in progress over at the other side of town. But the public-facing part in Dunedin with the stadium is beautiful. It's, you know, it still kind of retains its – it's not as fancy as almost, you know, a lot of other spring training places are now. Still kind of quaint and still kind of old-fashioned. But that was the choice, the compromise they made to stay in Dunedin. And, you know, if you're somebody who's lucky enough to come down here for spring training baseball, I think – you would rather have them here than out in the middle of a field somewhere where they could have built whatever the heck they wanted. You know, the footprint is tiny, but it's a lovely place to watch a ball game, and a much better place to watch a ball game right now than it was a year ago.
Stephen Brunt here on Tim and Sid. Stephen, who's the guy in camp based on, I know you haven't been there for all of camp, but who's the guy in camp that you're picking up on has created the most internal buzz? And maybe that hasn't been publicized too often.
Well,
what's the name you keep hearing?
You know, Nate Pearson's hard not to hear, right?
Yeah.
Like, everybody's talking about Nate Pearson, not just with the Jays, but in baseball. It's, you know, Ross Atkins did his weekly scrum this week. It's, you know, he's tired of answering the question from the visiting writers about Nate Pearson, which is, you know, a good problem to have. But, yeah, he's the buzz guy this year. He's this year's Vladdy in a lot of ways. But I'll tell you, you know, if you watch the team, you know, Danny Jansen, I think, is a really interesting guy. Again, not a guy who made a huge step last year, became the full-time number one catcher, was a great offensive player in the minors, dropped off offensively in the major leagues. I think you're going to see the offensive part of his game come back. He's looked tremendous this spring. And it's going to be interesting to watch Randall Grichuk, who had a big day today. But, you know, he's been working with Bo's dad, Dante Bichette, about his approach at the plate. And, you know, I said to Blair today, look, you know, spring training conversations about hitters' approach. I listened to Kevin Pillar for too many years. I'm a little immune to it when they say I'm going to do it completely differently this year, and then you watch them in the season, they do it exactly the same way. But, you know, Grichuk has, you know, he has had some really good competitive, but, you know, not giving away that third strike. You know, as Dante said today, he said, you know, 30 times a year, 35 times a year, 40 times a year, if you're lucky, you're going to hit one out. But then there's a million other at-bats, and those ones count as well. And sometimes it's convincing guys who have a lot of natural power to put as much emphasis on those other at-bats as they do on the ones where they're going yard. It's, you know, it's tricky. But I see, again, with a big asterisk attached because it's spring, I see progress there.
Do you see progress defensively and specifically at the corner at third base? It's tough to really gauge offense because – pitchers are trying stuff, or pitchers are pitching that are not going to make the major leagues. But defense really should carry to opening day. Have you seen any improvement in Vladdy's ability to move or his ability to stay passably at third base?
He's going to, you know, Donovan, he's going to get his chance to play his way off there. That's, I think he's going to get this year to prove that he can do it. You know, their insurance policy is, they, you know, Joe Panik, I think, is going to make the team. He can play third. Travis Shaw can play third. So they do have a couple of options there. But I think they're going to run Vladdy out there pretty much every day at third base. And, you know, look, he's looked okay at times this spring. He's not looked so great other times this spring. So, you know, it is hard to know exactly how much progress he's made. You know, the outfield's not going to be a great defensive outfield. And, you know, unless Jonathan Davis is in center, which would improve them. But I doubt that's going to happen to start the season. And I think everybody knows that the outfield is that's the issue with this lineup right now in the 26-man roster. But that's not going to get addressed midseason. You know, that's when next offseason, that's what we're going to be talking about. And again, I think we're going to be talking about trades, not about free agency.
Yasiel Puig? Is that a name that's still out there? I'm thinking of really.
I don't think he's going to fix your defense, Sid.
No, he's not going to fix your defense. But I mean, if you know you want to throw some money at the wall and see if it sticks in a contract year for a guy, I don't know. I'm with you. This outfield is what it is, and it's been now a couple off seasons where we've been saying it is what it is. I'm just trying to throw an idea up against the wall. The fact is, I just want to talk baseball as long as I can with you because I miss it. I have enjoyed this part of the conversation, Stephen, and this has been honestly my favorite part of the show. I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Sid. Thanks, Deej. And God willing, I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
Yes. Take care of each other down there. Say hi to Jeff Forrest. Thank you, Stephen. Stephen Brunt, the one and only. Again, my transition was clunky.
Oh, it was great.
It was awkward. I am working on my coronavirus to regular baseball transition. I'm not quite there yet as a broadcaster, but I'm trying, Deej. I'm giving it the old college try.
Yeah, so don't worry about the pandemic. Fifth starter, who is it for this club? Steven, tell us.
I need that conversation right now. Absolutely. All right, we're going to step aside here. Back to what we were talking about after the break. Elliot Friedman will be joining us for 3 of 31. What is going on inside the NHL right now in terms of preparation? We'll ask him next. Welcome back to Tim and Sid here on Sportsnet. Donovan Bennett in for Tim McAuliffe. The Jets and Oilers hook up tonight on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Coverage starts with Hockey Central, 8:30 Eastern. Connor McDavid missed Monday's crucial game against Vegas with the flu. He provided us an update earlier today. Easy for me to say. Hopefully he speaks clearer than I do.
How are you feeling and good to go tonight?
If nothing changes, then yeah.
Yeah, it was just a matter of just feeling a bit run down, or what exactly was the issue?
Like we said, flu. So, that was,
I'm sorry. What?
I hit two buttons at the same time. Hold on. I did that button. You think we said flu? Yeah, what he said?
My what wasn't to you. It was to him.
Is that what he said?
I think we said.
Can we run the clip one more time, guys? This was Connor McDavid. I think we called it a flu, is what he said regarding missing the game the other night. Here it is.
How are you feeling and good to go tonight?
If nothing changes, then yeah.
Yeah. It was just a matter of just feeling a bit run down, or what exactly was the issue?
Flu. So,
There was a meeting about it?
I think we said.
What do you mean, I think flu, like, we said flu?
Came to a collective decision? You didn't know what was wrong with you?
That is such a strange comment to make. It is. What do you mean, I think we said flu? I don't want to make more of it than what it was. It is what it is. He had the flu. I don't disbelieve him. It's Connor McDavid. Missed a big hockey game. He must have been sick. It was a hell of a hockey game he missed the other night. That's for first in the Pacific.
They need those points. And then he was going to say something else, and he's like, and just wrapped his...
I'm not suggesting anything. I just thought it was a weird clip. Time now for 3 of 31 with Elliot Friedman, brought to you by the next generation GMC Sierra Denali. With the world's first available 6-function multi-pro tailgate fridge. It is great to see you. Tell us something funny that happened to you today before we get into the story at hand. Is there anything humorous that you could drop on us before we get into the story?
Not off the top of my head, but not because nothing did. It's just that I'm trying to wrap my head around everything that's going on. I can't really think of anything right now.
Okay, how about fridge? How about this? How about spit and chiclets?
It was good. I really liked. You know, I'll tell you what I didn't like was they released the video version today, and I got to tell you, it's not the most flattering angle I've ever been shot at.
I know. For those who haven't seen the video on Spittin' Chiclets, I know what he's saying. As a man who is missing hair where I used to have it as well, these things happen. It was a certain angle. It wasn't Frege's fault.
Sid, I had 40 good years. The problem is I'm 49. Yes.
Yes. That's what I needed, Frege. Thank you very much for that. Okay.
Are you really? You're 49, really?
Yeah, yeah. 50 this year.
What happened to you?
You're really going to rip the hell out of Frege?
No, like I thought he was younger.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I thought he was younger.
Way to save it.
DJ, I always knew I liked you.
Way to save it, Bennett. Okay, Frege, just with the health concerns going on here, we just got the statement from the Blue Jackets not that long ago about tomorrow night against the Penguins behind closed doors and future dates. You lead here. What do we need to know at this hour?
Look, this is sadly, unfortunately, where we're headed. And, you know, I've been reading a lot. I've been reading about curves and social isolation and things like that, all the buzzwords of the day. And, you know, I think this is where we're going. I don't see how it can be avoided. I think we're quite simply in a situation where they're going to have to play games without fans. I have no doubt in my mind. We're also discussing the behind the scenes, discussing the possibility of delaying the season or moving it back or postponing it. There's no way that all of these contingency plans aren't being discussed right now. And I think we just have to, you know, it's obvious now that the leagues won't cancel games or hold fans out until a recommendation's not going to do it. They're going to have to be ordered to do it. So the recommendations came. They got changed into orders. And now we're seeing Columbus being the first team that's being ordered to do it. And it's going to happen more and more. I don't see there's any way to avoid it.
So the ramifications from a league standpoint are obvious. And you've explained some of them. I'm interested how the teams are approaching this from this standpoint. If we are canceling games or doing them without fans, revenue goes down, the cap in the future is impacted. Are those types of conversations by the clubs from a hockey ops standpoint being had as well?
Oh, yeah. Like, Donovan, like, just, you know, nobody's going to go on record about it because nobody knows the answer and nobody wants to sound, you know, crass and worried about that. I mean, ultimately, the number one thing you should be worried about is the health of the general public. But I think that everybody's looking at this and saying, okay, this has a chance to really hit the cap hard and the player's salary hard. Now, I think that these conversations have also been held. I think there'll be conversations about the possibility of could the players and the Players Association negotiate a cap for next year if they're worried the number's going to go too low. In the last NHL lockout, which was 2012 and 13, they had a situation where they set the cap for the next season. They said no matter what, the cap is going to be this number. Back then it was $64.3 million. That was the number it was in the previous 82-game season. So they could do something like that. But I think right now everybody's expecting. We had a projection of $84 to $88 million. I think it would be a stunner if it was there. So people are kind of looking at, okay, what are we projecting it at? And is there a reason for the league and the players to negotiate a certain number if they're worried it's going to get too low?
Elliot Friedman here on Tim and Sid. Obviously, the NHL world is kind of, like everyone else, feeling their way through this.
Yep.
The other side of the coin, and it's not just one side of the coin, so many other events have been sacrificed here for public safety concerns, and we all get it. But for the World Women's Hockey Championship, so close to it, to have to not be played like that out east, that's a rough one.
It sucks. It sucks for the players. It sucks for the people who are going to work and maybe make some extra money, whether it was businesses or people who were just working the tournament. It's too bad. And, you know, I got a note from a coach who's overseas. You look at the German league, they've canceled the rest of their season. Norway has canceled the rest of their season. Slovakia has canceled the rest of their season. Austria, and we're waiting on Switzerland and Sweden. And you know players, what do? They compete to win. The paycheck is the nice thing about sports, But at the end of the day, you're in it to win it. And you take a look at all those players on the women's teams, all of those players from all sorts of different countries who are playing in Europe, and they've lost the opportunity. In Denmark, they've postponed it. They've already told their players they're going to change their playoffs to make it more of a round robin as opposed to three best of seven series. But again, at least they might get a chance to play, hopefully. There's nothing worse than being a player and having this part of the year taken away from you because this is what you play for. You play to win the championship.
Obviously, events around the globe this month are all under threat. Mm-hmm. I did see a piece of news for each just a couple hours ago that bled into April, though, that I found even just as interesting. The Fed Cup Championship, scheduled to be held in Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
They wiped that out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm starting to think, in terms of the Men's World Hockey Championship, there can't be a lot of positivity at this stage of the game, considering how close to Italy and other neighboring countries this was scheduled to be played, that's going to happen. Any word from Rene Fasel and company on that?
Not yet, Sid. I can tell you what the timeline is. The Swiss League is going to meet, I think, Friday to decide about the future of their season. And if they don't play, it's a bad sign. Now, the IIHF is going 1 month at a time, basically. They canceled their March events, which included, as you mentioned, the Women's World Hockey Championships. Next, they're going to talk about their April events, which features the under-18 championships, which are supposed to be played that month in Plymouth. And then they'll go to the May event. So they're kind of going step by step by step by step. So they won't make that decision until they feel they're close enough and they see where everything is. There's a lot of reason, unfortunately, not to be optimistic. I think one of the big questions is going to be, Sid, are players from NHL teams going to be willing to play in that tournament,
right,
even if it does happen? And I think the biggest concern about that is that's the International Ice Hockey Federation's biggest moneymaker. Nothing is more important to them than the World Championships every year, and some of that money goes towards funding development for hockey around the world. And that's a big concern, because if that goes away, there's going to be federations hoping for money to fund some of their events, some of their younger players, their growth of their hockey, and unfortunately that might not be there.
The NHL's and their owners' biggest concern is their assets and their players, and regardless of what the IIHF does or the individual players decide, do you see owners allowing their players to travel abroad and play in this tournament? I think the NBA is going to have a very similar conundrum with the Olympics and allowing their players to play. Do you see that being a potential roadblock?
I think, honestly, Donovan, I think that the bigger question is now as opposed to there. I think if it's unsafe, the players won't be going. The owners don't stop players from playing in the World Championships generally. Players want to go, they go. That's a tournament where the player will usually decide if they don't want to play. I think the only way anyone's going to step in the way is if it's declared unsafe to play or canceled. So that I don't think is as much of a concern. I think right now, I think what everybody's focused on is, what happens if a player is exposed to the coronavirus or test for it, or somebody around a team, a media member, anything like that, is exposed to it. And what's going to happen in North America with these leagues? We're seeing now, we know a Juventus soccer player has been tested positive for it. I saw Arsenal announce today that two of their players were exposed to it. I mean, in that kind of a situation, what are you looking at? You probably have to isolate the team. You probably have to isolate the team they most recently played against. And how far back do you go? So I think what everybody's sitting here and wondering about in terms of the play in the various North American leagues right now is what happens if somebody with your team or around your team is exposed to it? Because to me, that's got to endanger games. I don't see how you avoid that.
Just to follow up, Friesian, again, I made the point earlier in the show, forgive me if I'm repeating myself to those watching and listening, but Hanover, who's in the German second division, in German soccer, Friege, they have a case of a positive coronavirus test for one of their players. Mm-hmm. They're essentially talking about closing down the entire remainder of the second division in German soccer just on that alone, because mm-hmm. they can't trace exactly who's been exposed to what at this point. So, but to your point, if that happens, it's a different ballgame. And
yes.
Because we're talking arenas housing some of them, both NHL and NBA teams.
Yes, I agree with you, Sid. If that happens, then, you know, all bets are off. No question about it.
Just staying in the moment, Friege. Sorry, forgive me if I went down a road a little bit, on a darker mm-hmm. road.
Everybody's wondering about this today. Yeah, I don't think fair. You can be faulted for that.
I appreciate that. Haven't heard anything last 24 hours or so from the Sharks in terms of Santa Clara County mm-hmm. and the banning of crowds over 1,000 people. Any word from San Jose on what they might be thinking? They had 3 home games scheduled for the rest of the month.
No, but I mean, they have a little bit of time to see where this goes. You know, I'd wondered if maybe they could play in a place like Arizona or Vegas, because, you know, California, apparently, you know, that's going to be a tough spot to play right now. And, you know, I wondered if they could play at a neutral site. And one of the things that was said to me was, even if you're a place where it's safe to play, whether with fans or not, do you want to be bringing people in from an area where it isn't? So I don't know if a neutral site is even feasible. That says to me that, most likely, Sid, you're looking at an empty building. And I do think the NHL and the Sharks are preparing for that possibility. I can't say 100% it's going to happen, but I would say right now it's the most likely scenario.
Friege, as you were saying that, and I'm not kidding, the Sharks released a statement backing up everything you just said. The 3 games this month will go ahead, but no fans will be present, to go with the guidelines set forth by the Santa Clara County officials. And the timing on that was unbelievable. But Friege, stop me if you've heard this before. You were right on that. You were right.
I've never heard that before.
I appreciate it, man. And enjoy the game tonight. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Hopefully 3-31 can be a bit more fun in a week or two. But I understand that's where we are today.
Here's hoping. Here. Thanks, bud.
Take care, guys.
There's Elliot Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada joining us on a rather unique day. One more sporting attendance related note. We have time here, Dobbs. I can drop this in. The Big Ten tournament will not have fans in attendance starting tomorrow due to the coronavirus. And again, these conference tournaments, I can't say this enough. DJ and I, we've been talking a lot about the NCAA tournament with no fans in the stands beginning next week. These conference tournaments are also serious, serious moneymakers. Yeah. Going back to the Big East tournament and just confirming where it is. I believe it's in Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis is where it's taking place. So, again, another NCAA piece of news there. No fans at one of the better conference tournaments around starting tomorrow in earnest, the Big Ten tournament.
Let's remember, many of the fans are already there, are Correct. Already staying in hotels Correct. And staying in Airbnbs and have tickets and have made travel arrangements. Mm-hmm. And the conference tournaments in big conferences is often quite as kept better basketball than the NCAA tournament. So that is a big step, no question.
All right, we are going to take a break. What we missed a lot. Some incredible Champions League scenes today. Not sure how much longer we're going to have the Champions League, but we want to talk to you about what happened today. This is Tim and Sid and Donovan on Sportsnet. Welcome back, everybody, to Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet, forgive me, for texting as we come back here. It's that kind of a day. We missed a lot here. We missed a ton.
We did, yeah.
Good thing we have this segment left.
What we missed.
I'm exhausted, so Donovan, you do the reading.
All right, fair enough. Some good news. How about to start? Norm Powell, reigning Eastern Conference Player of the Week, left Monday's game in Utah with a bit of an ankle injury. Looked pretty bad. Today, Nick Nurse said it's not too serious. Don't worry. Thinks he's going to play Saturday against Dwayne Casey and the Pistons. So that's some good news.
That's good news, man. Norm Powell, not that bad, man. Wallowing in this story all day. It's Norman Powell's healthy, damn it. Norman Powell's healthy.
We think.
Until the next injury.
We think, yeah, come on.
Till the next thing that happens to Norm Powell.
Champions League today. The Champions.
Oh, my God.
A pair of games in the Champions League round 16.
Like a dying chicken. You can't sing.
It's the trumpet.
I've learned this about you early in a relationship.
Why isn't that on your board? That should be a song that's on your board.
Well, we don't have the rights. Go pay the zone.
So, most importantly, PSG won 3-2. They go through with no fans in attendance.
Well, PSG go through one of the biggest moments they've had in Europe in decades.
Correct.
None of their fans were in the stadium to see it.
Correct.
In Paris.
Yes.
Beat Borussia Dortmund. That's correct. Atletico
goes through also on aggregate 4-2 over Liverpool.
Hold on. Don't gloss over that. Atletico Madrid went to Anfield just now, and they won 3-2 on the road to bounce Jurgen Klopp and company. How dare you gloss over that? The champions got bounced. Liverpool are done. By the way, James Sharman, tweet of the day, all he wrote was, stupid tournament anyway.
Well, are they going to hand out trophies in that stupid tournament is the question.
Oh, you're asking me, are they going to hand out a Champions League in a Europa League? No. But I want to enjoy this conversation.
No.
Listen, man. I am expecting the worst. What's the phrase? Expect the worst, hope for the best? Is that the phrase?
I mean, sure. You just said
honestly,
it.
Honestly.
So it's the phrase
expect
now.
Prepare for the worst, hope for the best. Right? I've always had that in the back of my mind.
It's my motto when I do this show. Speaking of Champs League, CONCACAF.
Wait a second. Sorry, we got a picture. Sorry, you glazed over the team. So again, Paris Saint-Germain played today at home with no fans because of health concerns.
Yes.
But a bunch of Paris Saint-Germain supporters were outside the stadium. They were lighting fireworks as the game started. So PSG beat Dortmund. They advance. The players ran up to the concourse, went out to a window overlooking the fans, and they celebrated with the fans in the streets and parking lots outside the stadium. The visuals to come out of this were spectacular. Angel Di Maria with no shirt.
Great tattoos.
Celebrating with a bunch of fans who weren't allowed in. An incredible scene in Paris tonight as Paris Saint-Germain get through and killing Mbappe. They thought he had coronavirus. He tested negative, geez. Thankfully. But there was a lot going on in that game. And just some wild, wild visuals tonight out of the Champions League in Europe.
The photo looks photoshopped. It's that crazy. Jurgen Klopp, not as excited to interact with the fans as he was.
Did fans actually stick out their hand at Jurgen Klopp in Anfield today?
They tried. But he was unwilling to shake their hands. And let's say he had some not so kind words for them, telling them to put your hand away, you expletive idiot.
There was video of Jurgen Klopp walking out blatantly saying, put your hand away, you bleeping idiot, to his own fans.
Yes.
That's quite something.
But that's on brand for him. Like, he's mentioned in rap songs as being an angry German. That's kind of who he is.
Did you hear someone in the media ask him about coronavirus this week? And he looked at them and said, I'm going to try and do a Jurgen Klopp impression. It's not going to be very good. He goes, I am not the expert on this. I'm not the professional. Just because I wear a hat and I'm famous, I can't speak to this. I can't. Why are you asking? No, but it was like he was making a really serious point. And he was upset because, like, why are you asking me this? I'm a football manager. I am a manager of football. Why do you ask me these things? It was like, why the hell? Like, why are you asking the Leafs about coronavirus? Why are you asking NBA players about coronavirus? Like, there are certain news outlets show up. And I don't want to insult anyone, but there are certain news outlets that, like, there are newsrooms that say, go to this press conference. So I'm watching the Leafs take questions on coronavirus yesterday. What the hell? What is Morgan Riley going to say about coronavirus? But somebody in a newsroom sent someone to go down there and ask a dumbass question, and you get nothing in return. It's just a ridiculous way to act. These are not doctors. They're hockey players. They're regular. At this point, we're pretty much all equal. Unless you're a doctor, you don't know jack. And it was just so annoying. And Jurgen Klopp, he dealt with that this week in the lead up to that game at Anfield today. Why are you asking me about Corona? I am not big. Famous people should not comment on these things. Famous people should. It was like an amazing quote.
You're not wrong. He's not wrong. That impersonation was wrong. Is he the special one?
It's a little Mourinho in there. Isn't
a little.
It's a little.
Speaking of champions,
I am the special one. Donovan Bennett, good player, spectacular player, good player. We need to be careful with him. I'm special. I'm Jose Mourinho. Go on.
Champs League action. Thierry Henry, feel free to impersonate him.
So CONCACAF Champions League we're going to.
Correct, yeah.
Controversy.
Still Champs League.
Controversy last night, the big O.
Montreal Impact lost 2-1 to CD Olympia of Honduras. I'm sure you're familiar. In the first leg of the quarterfinal yesterday, but Impact Flyers felt they should have been awarded a penalty late in the game after what looked like an apparent handball. The referee initially pointed to the spot, but after a lengthy discussion with everyone's favorite, the assistant referee, he changed his decision. And remember, there is no VAR in CONCACAF Champions League.
Why would there be?
Is this the Montreal Screwjob part deux?
The Montreal Screwjob. You're taking me back to November 1997?
Do you remember the month?
I think, yeah. I was at Raw. True story. Bret Hart gets screwed in Montreal, right? Was it Survivor Series? I forget what the event was. Screwed. one of the classic notorious wrestling moments ever. Before he goes to WCW, screwed. Me and some buddies, we're going to Ottawa the next night to watch Raw. So everyone is at, I believe it was still called Corral Center when we went. Everyone's showing up going, I don't know what's on the level or not, but this is going to be amazing. And there's this weird energy in the room that night because Bret Hart was gone. And everyone was still talking about it. Just kind of a weird side note that I was at Raw the next night in Ottawa after the Montreal Screwjob. But back to what you're asking me, yes, bit of a screw job last night. And I hate to see a handball go against Thierry Henry. I really do. I know Irish soccer fans love it because he screwed Ireland on one very famous World Cup qualifying occasion back in the day. This was also before VAR.
It was well before
VAR. And Shea Given and those guys were really pissed about it. Shout out Satanta Sports back in the day. Satanta. Thierry Henry had the most blatant handball in the history of handballs. But he's gonna piss and moan to CONCACAF officials about last night.
That doesn't look like a natural motion to you?
Give me a break. By the way, but like
the ball played the arm. The arm didn't play the ball.
But the saying, that's so CONCACAF, right? Like for soccer fans in Canada and this region where weird stuff happens,
right.
That last night was your quintessential. I think I heard KJ make the point too. That is a quintessential that's so CONCACAF moment.
Well, I need a that's so Bachelor moment because I think it may have jumped the shark. Forget about the Astros trolling and forget about Gronk. He's going to the WWE. He's basically a wrestler as it is.
By the way, hold on. Oh, we got somebody. No, I'm serious about the WWE. So Rob Gronkowski's going to the WWE?
He is.
This is going to happen?
Gronk.
He's going to fail. We got another tweet from Silvio. Guys, any rumblings about WrestleMania in Florida? Nothing. Still scheduled for April 5th. Vince McMahon, I don't think he would just cancel WrestleMania.
No.
I don't think that's in his DNA. No. So someone's going to have to make him cancel. You talk about an event that draws people.
Yes.
Like, we're not just talking March Madness here. That is a week-long thing that makes a ton of money in any market they are in. I still respect WrestleMania immensely from a money-making standpoint. So nothing yet on WrestleMania, and Gronk will fail miserably as a wrestler. It's not easy, man. You just can't walk in there. Ask Ronda Rousey. Yeah, like that was going to be easy. You just can't walk into their business and do what they do. They're incredible people, man. Athletes, entertainers. You got to respect what they do like 6 days a week. You think Gronk's used to play in a game a week. You think Gronk's going to go in there and excel?
Yeah.
You think he's going to be a talker, like he's going to engage the audience like that? He's Gronk, man. They're going to have him be some guy listening to Geno Beats back in the day, being like the Geno Beats wrestler. He's going to be a caricature. He's going to be a clown. He's not going to be like Fiend or these other guys. I can't believe I've talked wrestling this long with you. This is the longest I've talked wrestling on this show ever.
I think he'll be fine.
Okay. The Bachelor. What did you make of that last night? Hashtag Brenda.
I might be out on The Batch. I'm just here to
You're out on The Batch?
I don't know if I can do it
What
anymore.
Are you talking about? I didn't like the season, but I'm not out on The Bachelor.
I didn't like the season. Like, how much producer intervention are we going to get in one show? We've got picture in picture of the moms in the corner giving screw face. We got Chris Harrison flying across the country to convince Madison to come back. It's too much. Moms, just allow your children to find love.
Listen.
And do it for the right reason.
For those who did not watch the season finale of The Bachelor last night.
Madison like that.
On City. The mother of The Bachelor went in on Barb. Did not like the final decision.
Look at that screw
Barb was not feeling Madison in the California studios at ABC. Barb became an internet sensation for giving the evil eye, as they say in some cultures. And it was an epic moment. This is not going to end well, and I wish Peter all the best, but he's an idiot, so he won't get the best.
Girl who he proposed to and then dumped was crushing him, and she was clapping like she was getting back on defense. She was excited.
Give the Pelosi.
Oh my goodness, Barb. Brutal.
All right, that's it for us, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. It was a different show. We try to lighten it up a little. Hockey Central is coming your way at 8:30 Eastern, followed by the Jets and Oilers on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Meantime, on Sportsnet 1, NBA doubleheader, Nuggets Mavs, followed by Zion and Sacramento. Deej, great job. We will see you tomorrow. Take care.
Bachelor has a musical show now?